Welcome to the Versus History Podcast with your hosts, Patrick O'Shaughnessy, Connell Smith, and Elliot Watson.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Versus History Podcast. It's Patrick O'Shaughnessy, your host for today on behalf of the editorial team. And today we are absolutely delighted to be joined by Dr. Karina Auerbach, who has published a brand new book, and it's entitled Alice's Book, How the Nazis Stole My Grandmother's Cookbook. And it's published by McElhoes Press, and it's out in May 2022. So out as we speak, my friends. So Karina, thank you so much indeed for joining us today. Please let us know how you are and all about you and your background before we come to the book.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. Yes, I'm a German historian, but I have worked in America from 2015 to 21. I was at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey, and now I'm back here in the UK at the University of London. I have published books on 19th and 20th century European history, and my most successful book so far was Go-Betweens for Hitler, about Hitler's diplomatic back channels. But I've also published books on Bismarck and a biography of Queen Victoria. And on the side, I'm also a novelist, but I have a pseudonym and I only write novels in German, so nobody in America or England would read them. Yeah, that's me.
Thank you very, very much indeed. Okay, then, that's you. Talk to us all about the book. What's it all about and why did you write it, Karina?
Well, this book is a family history, but also an indictment of theft, because Alice's work, that's my grandmother's cookbook, was appropriated by an Aryan. And this was a large-scale fraud that German publishers continued to practice after 1945. So the book is about this crime, but it's also about a very, I hope, fascinating family. It's about Alice's sons, one of them becoming an intelligence officer, the other one being imprisoned at Dachau concentration camp. And it's also about Alice's children she looked after, orphans she looked after in England. It's a big family history it starts in the 19th century. It starts in a ghetto in Bratislava where Alice's father was born. And then it turns into a Viennese history because her father was mingling with all these famous people like Schnitzler and Sigmund Freud, etc. And then it turns into a Holocaust story, but also into a positive story at the very end. So it has funny bits in it, but also very upsetting bits. I hope it's a good mixture of both.
Thank you very much, Karina. So I'm fascinated. The Nazis, as we know, had a racial interpretation of Judaism, and they were as anti-Semitic as it gets. So given that, why were the Nazis, who were so anti-Semitic, why were they so interested in this cookbook, given that not only were they anti-Semitic, they were also pretty infamous for burning and banning books? Now, that's the first half of the question. The second half, which I'm going to appendage to it just to load it up still further, were there any kosher aspects of the cookbook, which I'm guessing the Nazis would have been pretty uncomfortable with? So if there were, did they exclude them, amend them, bridge them? So over to you. I'm just fascinated to know.
Yeah. Well, it's quite interesting how Alice came about to write this cookbook. You see, she was from this well-to-do family in Vienna. She grew up in Habsburg Vienna. But after the First World War, of course, the family lost all its money. Vienna was in a horrible, the whole of Austria was in a depression. And Alice suddenly had to work. And she was one of these formidable women who found some little niche and made a career out of it. And her passion was cooking. So she started a catering service. She started a cooking school that was very successful. And she wrote several cookbooks. But her most famous cookbook that was 500 pages long and was also a book about housekeeping, not just with recipes, was this book called That's How We Cook in Vienna with an exclamation mark, because Alice talked in exclamation marks. She had this theatrical side to her. So that was a very, very successful book that was published in 1935. And it was a bestseller in Austria, and it was commissioned by a German publishing house. So in 1935, that was still possible that a Jewish author like Alice could publish a cookbook, even though the Nazis had already come to power in Germany, but of course not in Austria. But once they march into Austria in 1938, in March 1938, now all the Austrians become Germans, and all the racial laws, the Nuremberg racial laws, are applied to people like Alice and her sons. So Alice is now in great danger from that moment onwards. And her cookbook, of course, can't be published anymore because she is a Jewish author. So her publishing house, who had commissioned two more books from her, and she had already submitted two more manuscripts, suddenly say, oh, very sorry, we have to drop you. Please sign this declaration that you are not going to have any rights for your three manuscripts, and we will take over this book. And under the RASP, as you know, many Jewish people had to sign such horrible contracts. They had to give away their family homes, their cars, their factories. They signed everything off because they wanted to get out of Austria as quickly as possible. Now, the publishing houses in Germany, of course, since 1933, were very obedient. We all have seen these clips of the Nazis burning books in May 33. They didn't just burn books by Jewish authors, but also books by their political opponents. And there were a few writers who, like Oskar Maria Grave, one of my favorite novelists, who was not burned, and he wrote a letter to the Nazis, please burn me, you know, I'm an opponent of yours. So there were some brave people like Oskar Maria Grave, who wasn't Jewish. But so we have just assumed that that was the end of it. The Nazis burned all these books by their opponents and by Jewish authors. But that wasn't the case. And as I found out with Alice's book, the publishing houses, they didn't want to give up bestsellers. And she had written a bestseller. They wanted to continue profiting from very successful books, and nonfiction books were amongst the most successful genres in the Third Reich in the Nazi time. And it was therefore more profitable to find ways to continue publishing them. And one such way was to steal them. And this was a logical step, for in a country where Jews had gradually lost their legal protection since 1933, their intellectual property, just like their material assets, was at the mercy of others. It meant that every Aryan author and publisher could now help themselves to this intellectual property without having to fear the consequences. And I found this internal document by one publishing house. It wasn't the one that published Alice, but it was a memo that they circulated in the publishing house. And it said, point one, I'm quoting, when reprinting, check if author is Aryan according to the Nuremberg laws. Point two, for books written by non-Aryan authors, check whether reprint can be authored by an Aryan. So that's exactly what happened to Alice's book. So they found this man, Rudolf Rösch, and they gave the book to him, and he did change a few things. He changed, for example, Jewish sounding recipes. I mean, Alice's cookbook was very international. It wasn't just a Jewish cookbook, because you asked me about kosher. It wasn't just a Jewish cookbook. She believed in food being a global thing with lots of influences. And of course, the Habsburg monarchy in which she grew up was influenced by Italian food and by French food and Czechoslovakia. So everything was a big, big mixture. But the recipes that sounded Jewish were taken out. So there was no more an omelette Rothschild, and there was no more of a Jaffa tart. And that was all gone.
Thank you, Karina. So how did you go about investigating and researching this quite remarkable book and story?
Well, yeah, it started with this riddle. I mean, I had these two cookbooks at home, and I thought, you know, I have this Rush version, and I have Alice's version, and of course, I wrote to lots of archives. First of all, I wrote to the archive, the publishing house that Alice's book was published in, and they said they have no archive material and they can't help me. And I knew that couldn't be true because I had read their Jubilee edition of 1974, where they had used a lot of material from the 1930s and 40s. So they must have material. I was pretty sure about that. But okay, so they didn't help me at first. And then I thought, okay, there's so many other great archives in Austria, especially the archives of the Jewish Viennese community. Then they have in Austria a wonderful newspaper archive, so I could read all the reviews of Alice's cooking shows and all her speeches she gave. So that was wonderful. And of course, to research my father's story, who was working for the American intelligence services. He was in the counterintelligence corps. I had the great chance to go to Washington and work in the National Archives in Washington. And I found his famous memorandum about Odessa, about this secret Nazi organization. So that was very exciting for me. And of course, in the National Archives in London, I found a lot of material because Alice worked for a Jewish refugee hostel during the war. So I could also cover that side of the story. And lots of people helped me. I have wonderful colleagues, and everybody was finding things and going through address books, trying to find out who this imposter was, who this Rudolf Rösch was, who had stolen Alice's book.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay, so that begs the question, what next for the cookbook and Alice's book? Which historical recipe, it's the second half of the question, so which historical recipe resonates with you the most from the book and why?
Oh, yeah. Okay. What next? Well, I mean, the happy ending was, of course, that the publishing house, once the book came out, it came out first in German. Once my book about Alice's story came out, they gave us back the rights. So what they did was, to me and my cousin, they made it possible 80 years after this book had been taken away from Alice, they made it possible to publish it again under her own name. So it is now in all the German and Austrian libraries. There is a reprint of her book. And of course, the recipes, yes, I think they are a bit old-fashioned and they are very cholesterol heavy. But I like best, of course, the ones that were banned. So omelette Rothschild would be my favorite recipe because the Nazis didn't like that one. But it's a very heavy one. I mean, I'm not a great cook. I can't bake very well, but I make my family do these things. And it's nutritious, but you put a bit of weight on, definitely.
Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Karina Orbach. I really appreciate you coming to speak to Versus History today. But before we let you go, could you just remind us about the title of the book, who it's published by, and where we can purchase it?
Yes, it's called Alice's Book, How the Nazis Stole My Grandmother's Cookbook. And it's published by Quercus MacLehose book, and it's at the moment it's on Amazon UK. I think you can buy it in America, and in England, of course, you can buy it everywhere. So it's at all the good bookshops. And I just did a bit of Waterstone book signing, but it's at all the great bookshops in England as well.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, if it's huge and broad availability isn't enough, the fact that the book is really, really something quite phenomenal. And you know, I'm hooked for one. I've not yet read it, but on the back of this interview, I'm going to go out and purchase it as we approach the summer holidays. So, Karina, thank you so much for giving up the time to come and speak to Versus History. But even more importantly, thank you for unearthing this really, really important story and bringing it into the public domain. Absolutely fascinating. And thank you, as I said, making this contribution to world literature. As I said, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah, it's wonderful that you invited me. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Versus History podcast. Visit us at www.versushistory.com and follow us at Versus History on Twitter and Instagram.
You can download all episodes from iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or from wherever you get your podcasts.